VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a Friday News Roundup day today. And, yesterday it was really an encouraging day. Today is not necessarily going to be that way. There is much that is going on in the news, and we'll be sharing a lot of this with you as Lori's been busy compiling stories through the course of this week. But friends, the premise that we began yesterday's program with continues on today. God's in control. And even though we talk about these issues and matters that are going on, none of this takes God by surprise. And so we continue to keep our hope, our trust, our faith, our confidence in Him, as we also are understanding of the times in which we live. It's no mistake, God has each of us here for such a time as this. And so the question boils down to, are you being that salt? Are you being that light that God has called you to be? So we're going to delve into a number of stories today, but continue to understand that we don't throw up our arms in fear and fright, but we recognize that certainly greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. And so we begin again with that premise even today as we look at some pretty troubling stories for the most part taking place here across the nation. First of all, some very interesting matters unfolding in the state of Pennsylvania. Because Democrats, including a newly sworn-in Muslim lawmaker, have reacted with outrage when a Pennsylvania state representative mentioned Jesus 13 times in an invocation and recited scripture declaring at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. WND.com has the story. It was a prayer Monday before the state's legislature that the state representative, Stephanie Borowitz, thanked Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Great I Am, the one who's coming back again. The Democratic State Senator, Representative Movita Johnson-Harrell, who was sworn in during the session as the state's first female Muslim lawmaker, joined by her party state leadership in denouncing this prayer. I'd like you to hear the prayer, just shy of 2 minutes, but I'd like you to hear what was said and the fever-pitched objections taking place in the state of Pennsylvania. Let's listen in.
Representative Borowitz.
Thank you, Speaker. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this privilege, Lord, of letting me pray, God, that I, Jesus, am your ambassador here today, standing here representing you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am, the one who's coming back again, the one who came, died, and rose again on the third day. And I'm so privileged to stand here today. So thank you for this honor, Jesus. God, for those that came before us, like George Washington in Valley Forge, and Abraham Lincoln, who sought after you in Gettysburg, Jesus, and the founding fathers in Independence Hall, Jesus, that sought after you and fasted and prayed for this nation to be founded on your principles and your words and your truths. God, forgive us. Jesus, we've lost sight of you. We've forgotten you, God, in our country. And we're asking you to forgive us, Jesus, that your promise and your word says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, that you'll heal our land. Jesus, you are our only hope. God, I pray for our leader, Speaker Terzai, Leader Cutler, Governor Wolf, President Trump. Lord, thank you that he stands beside Israel unequivocally, Lord. Thank you that Jesus, that we're blessed because we stand by Israel, and we ask for the peace of Jerusalem as your word says, God. We ask that we not be overcome by evil and that we overcome evil with good in this land once again. I claim all these things in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus, the one who at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus, that you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that's the prayer that's creating outrage right now in the state of Pennsylvania. Democratic House Minority Whip Jordan Harris of Philadelphia accused Borowitz of weaponizing her religion to intimidate, demean, and degrade Johnson-Harrell as she was installed in front of her family and friends. Coming to us also from Todd Starnes, he indicates that Pennsylvania's first female Muslim lawmaker in the General Assembly accused this Republican colleague of Islamophobia after she opened the session invoking the name of Jesus Christ. Movita Johnson-Harrell, who was sworn into the office after the prayer, said the prayer was highly offensive to me, my guest, and other members of the House. Borowitz delivered this prayer shortly before Movita Johnson-Harrell, the first Muslim woman elected to the General Assembly, was sworn in. Also, LifeSiteNews.com reports that claiming that the prayer was an example of blatant Islamophobia, the hijab-wearing Johnson-Harrell said in a video that she seeks to be a model for covered women and girls. Governor Tom Wolf, and this is from OneNewsNow.com, Governor Tom Wolf said he was horrified by the invocation. The Associated Press reported that Borowitz was indirectly criticized by Representative Mike Cherzai, the Republican House Speaker, after the prayer. He read from House rules that advise keeping remarks respectful of other religious beliefs. The new Muslim lawmaker has since told the media she supports censoring Representative Borowitz to promote inclusion in the state legislature. And Robert Spencer tells us that State Representative Jason Dawkins, another Muslim lawmaker, opened the session then Tuesday by reading from the Quran, prompting applause in the chamber. Okay, if you're going to pray in the name of Jesus, we're going to bring the Quran here. Robert Spencer asks, is this just coincidence that the left seems to oppose every counter-terror and national security measure and always to denigrate Judeo-Christian tradition while exalting Islam? And then the Pennsylvania Pastors Network has responded to this issue as well. The executive director, Gary Dull, said, quote, as far back as the time of Pennsylvania founder William Penn, God's name and his word have been prevalent in the official representations of our Commonwealth. In fact, Penn dreamed to establish the Pennsylvania, which was referred to as the Holy Experiment, in which a colony would be founded that guaranteed religious freedom, but that freedom was based upon the truth of the Holy God of the Bible and his son, Jesus Christ, as it states in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Great controversy going on after that prayer took place in the Pennsylvania legislature by a state representative. Now, back over to New Zealand. Here we have as well the report about countries with high Muslim populations have been overwhelmed by New Zealand's response to the Christchurch terrorist attack on two mosques, the Prime Minister said. There was a direct attack on New Zealand's Muslim community, said Jacinda Ardern. When asked if there was a concern from countries with high Muslim populations about Islamophobia, they've seen the images of New Zealanders standing outside mosque gates, leaving flowers, singing songs, have remarked how extraordinary they consider that to be. Matter of fact, the Prime Minister even went to a Muslim early childhood center where she read the children a book. Also, we find that the Canterbury University Muslim Student Association president is calling for some new anti-hate speech. To have a law banning hate speech. Bariz Shah, president of the Canterbury Muslim Students, told TVNZI's Breakfast that ideally I'd love for the Prime Minister to say that they're enacting a new law which basically charges anyone who says any hate speech to anybody, whether it be Muslim or non-Muslim, anything along those lines would be very reassuring. He says as a nation we must come up with a solution to the hate. I'll tell you what the solution, folks, is. The solution is Jesus Christ and salvation in him. The Washington Free Beacon tells us a Democratic freshman Representative Ilhan Omar has been holding a series of secret fundraisers with groups that have been tied to the support of terrorism, appearances that have been closed to the press, hidden from public view. The content of the speeches given to predominantly Muslim audiences remains unknown. That's to groups like CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations. You heard Jimmy DeYoung talk about the connection to Hamas. Vice President Mike Pence. Associated Press reports that he blasted Ilhan Omar Monday for her comments about Israel and the Jewish people and charged Democrats with open anti-Semitism. Pence addressed the annual convention of the American Israel Public Affairs Committee and rebuked Omar and said she should not be allowed to sit on one of the most powerful committees in Congress. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation Saturday urged the UN Secretary General, this is from Jihad Watch, urged the UN Secretary General to convene a special session of the UN General Assembly to declare Islamophobia as a form of racism and to assign a special rapporteur for monitoring and combating the menace in Western countries. Okay, I guess that's the U.S., folks. Urge the UN Secretary General to have this special session, convene a special session to declare Islamophobia as a form of racism. Let's go on to the big story out of Chicago. Daily Mail has a story of Jussie Smollett facing 48 years behind bars on 16 felony charges for allegedly lying to police about the alleged hate crimes attack on January 29th, but the Empire actor sensationally had all 16 disorderly conduct charges that a grand jury returned dropped against him this past Tuesday. Reports showing the police had amassed a trove of evidence to back up the charges. The Chicago police file on Smollett include security footage taken from inside his apartment block. The file also had clips showing him in his car with one of the two brothers allegedly paid to attack him days before the assault. They say police assessed Smollett's iCloud account and proved that has been messaging both of the two individuals, Abel and Ola Osandero. The police reports reveal that Smollett was never handcuffed, placed in a jail cell, or subjected to the media. It also states that one of the Osandero brothers admitted to filling this hot sauce bottle with bleach and later pouring it on Smollett. Well, the Washington Free Beacon says that the first assistant Cook County State's attorney, Joseph Maggots, told CBS reporter Adrian Diaz that although the state is dropping charges against Smollett for faking a hate crime, he believes he is guilty. Isn't this interesting? And then FoxNews.com tells us of Tina Tichin, the attorney and former chief of staff to the First Lady Michelle Obama, has garnered scrutiny after messages traded with the Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox about the alleged hoax linked to actor Jussie Smollett emerged shortly before prosecutors dropped all charges against Smollett on Tuesday. Fox News reports that Mayor Rahm Emanuel Thursday emphatically urged President Trump to butt out of this ongoing drama over embattled Empire actor Jussie Smollett, as he blamed, here we go, folks, Rahm Emanuel blamed President Trump for creating a toxic environment where someone would allegedly fabricate such an attack. Well, can I tell you, folks, these false hate crime reports happened long before Donald Trump became president of the United States. And now Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who never lets a crisis go to waste, is blaming the president for creating a toxic environment. He called Chicago a Trump-free zone, blamed the president for creating a toxic and hate-filled environment that allowed Smollett to think he could get away with faking such a hate crime. He said, let me be clear about something. The only reason Jussie Smollett thought he could take advantage of a hoax about a hate crime is because of the environment, the toxic environment that Donald Trump created, Emanuel said. The exiting mayor also suggested that Smollett write a check of $130,000 to Chicago with I'm accountable for the hoax written on the memo line. But again, folks, these phony hate crime reports have long happened before Donald Trump, but now we have the mayor of Chicago blaming President Trump for creating this toxic environment. And his lawyers are saying that they're weighing all options now on suing the Chicago police. By the way, his volunteer service that he performed, well, he did it by fulfilling that with working for a Jesse Jackson nonprofit. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does the fossil record prove evolution?
Not at all, Chris. In fact, it couldn't prove evolution because evolution didn't happen. I don't even think it supports evolution very well. What we see in the fossil record are the same kinds of plants and animals which are alive today. They can be put into various categories, such as clams or snails or brachiopods. Some animals, like the dinosaurs, have gone extinct, but none of the fossils seem to point to one type of animal evolving or changing into another type. That's because evolution simply didn't happen. What did happen is creation. Creation of the basic types of plants and animals that God created. They exist into the present day or else have gone extinct, but nothing else has arisen since then. And that's the way it is back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, a Friday News Roundup day today. And friends, the last two Mondays, we've had Matt Staver on from Liberty Council talking about this H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act, and how this would just really take a sledgehammer. Matt Staver calls it a wrecking ball to churches and Christian ministries across the nation. And the next series of stories I have will just bear out some of the things that are going on. For instance, as LifeSiteNews.com points out, Michigan's Attorney General, Dana Nessel, has announced that taxpayer-funded adoption agencies with religious objections to placing children in homes of homosexual married couples will no longer be able to cite their faith as a legitimate reason to opt out of providing that service. The move has the effect of forcing religious adoption agencies to violate their conscience if they want state money, or they're going to have to close down. In a statement released Friday, Nessel, a liberal Democrat and a lesbian, declared that discrimination in the provision of foster care case management and adoption service is illegal, no matter the rationale. And that's exactly what this H.R. 5 is going to do. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the Act for Religious Freedom, sorry, does not apply here. Oh, by the way, the First Amendment and the free exercise of religion, that doesn't apply either. Let's check out a story from CBN. A black Christian speaker recently disinvited from an on-campus debate due to her biblical beliefs about sexuality. Just the latest example of American universities blocking Christian views from the spotlight. Earlier this year, Janique Stewart, a pro-life speaker with the Life Training Institute, has been invited to speak at Cornell University's Political Union regarding the fact that abortion is a moral wrong. And she wrote in a Facebook post, Stewart wrote that in a shocking phone call, she had been disinvited from the event because of her outspoken beliefs regarding biblical sexuality, that sexual activity should be reserved for marriage and natural marriage defined by God as the union of one man and one woman. Okay, you cannot have this Christian adoption agency. You can't be speaking to on college campuses. And now you can't even be a medical doctor following your beliefs as well because, as LifeSiteNews.com reports, a California woman who claims to be a man is suing a Catholic hospital for refusing to remove her healthy reproductive organs, citing religious principles. According to documents filed in Humboldt County Superior Court, this individual was scheduled for a hysterectomy on August 30th by 2017 by Dr. Deepak Stokes, following a diagnosis of gender dysphoria. Now, the legal team of this biological female who is claiming to be male claims that she was told by Dr. Stokes minutes before the procedure was to occur that the operation had been canceled because she did not meet the hospital's parameters for sterilization. Well, the lawsuit also claims that Knight was forced to wear a pink hospital gown instead of blue, according to the lawsuit. Hospital staff also repeatedly misgendered Knight, despite the preferred pronouns, the traditionally masculine appearance, and the fact that medical records identify Knight as Mr. Knight and identifies her as a male. Knight wears masculine clothing, also has a beard. The lawsuit claims that the hospital violated California's anti-discrimination laws and the Civil Rights Act and caused intentional and negligent infliction of emotional distress. However, Knight was able to have the procedure a few days later at the Mad River Community Hospital. But now, a woman claiming to be male sues a Catholic hospital for canceling this surgery. Let's go on. Here we have from WND.com, the University of Louisville, being sued for firing a professor because he held a different view from his colleagues and the school administration regarding gender dysphoria. The complaint, folks, it's like H.R. 5 already has been created as law. The complaint was filed by the Alliance, and let me just say this. We see these things happening now. Just think what it's going to be like if H.R. 5 is passed. The complaint filed by the Alliance Defending Freedom on behalf of Alan Josephson against the university president and other school officials. In the fall of 2017, Josephson participated in a panel discussion at the Heritage Foundation discussing treatment approaches for youth experiencing gender dysphoria. His remarks angered a few of his colleagues, who then learned that he had served as an expert witness addressing similar issues. So they demanded that the university take disciplinary action, and university officials responded by demoting him weeks later to the role of a junior faculty member, and then he was fired. A statement from ADF Senior Counsel Travis Barham says that universities are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas, but the University of Louisville is turning itself into an assembly line of one thought. Because of his expression, his views, the complaint charges, school officials continue to belittle and berate him, inflicted an irreparable damage to his professional career and reputation, reduced his salary, retirement benefits, and academic travel funds. Why? Because of his transphobia. Because of his lack of sensitivity. He's not politically correct. Do you know what they're doing in Canada, ladies and gentlemen? From Christian.org out of the UK, school children in Canada are being tested to find out if they're a transphobe. The quiz is included in a book entitled Transphobia, Deal With It, available in classes across Nova Scotia. Pupils will be labeled transphobic if they disagree with a person changing gender. The stated purpose of the lesson is for children to learn what thoughts and opinions are acceptable for them to think. Children as young as 12 are scored against statements such as, I think that if you're born with a certain body, it's wrong to change it. And I don't think that trans women and trans girls should be able to use the washroom with other women. A child's transphobia score increases the more statements that they agree with. Truly, truly amazing. Let's get back to Washington, D.C. Washington Free Beacon reports that multiple Democratic offices in Capitol Hill have replaced their flags memorializing prisoners of war with transgender pride flags, the Washington Free Beacon has learned. The changes came at the urging of the National Center for Transgender Equality. Among the members to make the switch was Representative Kim Schreier of Washington, Washington State, who replaced the POW flag that she had displayed outside her office with a transgender pride flag. LGBTQ Nation tells us of an 11-year-old, Ella Briggs, the first out kid governor of Connecticut, running on a pro-LGBTQ platform in an election for fifth graders. The award-winning statewide initiative teaches the children civics, and the winner is sworn in at the old state house in the Capitol. She sets her eyes in her office, saying she will be the country's first lesbian president. 11 years old. LifeSiteNews.com tells us every obstacle to the Pentagon implementing the Trump administration's ban on gender dysphoria in the U.S. military has finally been cleared away thanks to a federal court rescinding the last of four injunctions against the controversial long-awaited policy. On Tuesday, a D.C. Circuit panel sided with the Trump administration dissolved the final injunction. The Hill reports at the moment there's no legal barrier to the government's intended plan to start enforcing the ban on April 12th. Perry Sachs, a spokesman for plaintiff's attorneys, admitted accordingly to the Military Times. I told you the story about Chick-fil-A not being admitted in San Antonio Airport. Well, there's a backlash against the city council's vote to exclude Chick-fil-A from that airport contract because they say the owner's religious beliefs now includes a formal request for a federal investigation of the city, reports WND.com. The probe could impact the federal grants the city receives. Members accused Chick-fil-A of promoting an anti-LGBT agenda. Why? Because they donate to groups like Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the Paul Anderson Youth Home, and to the Salvation Army that takes seriously the Bible's condemnation of homosexual behavior. The council's 6-4 vote later brought an apology to Chick-fil-A from one council member and an inquiry by a local member of Congress. Now First Liberty Institute has sent a letter to Elaine Chao, the U.S. Secretary of Transportation, asking for an investigation into the council actions. The letter seeks to know whether city officials failed to comply with assurances of non-discrimination as required as a federal grant recipient. You know, we keep hearing that non-discrimination. Then why is it right to discriminate against those who hold an opposing viewpoint? By the way, H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act, and folks, again, I point out, look at all these things that are happening, and this thing is not even law. And how this is going to catch on like a wildfire and spread across state by state, municipality by municipality. This coming Tuesday, April 2nd, 10 o'clock in the morning, the House Judiciary Committee is going to have a full committee hearing on the Equality Act. And if you've not contacted your members of the House or Senate as of this point, don't you think it's about time you call and let them know your view on it? That's coming up next Tuesday. 10 o'clock is the first hearing going on by the House Judiciary Committee. Let's turn to another issue. We have a letter from Russ Fulcher, a member of Congress, written to Dr. Leanna Wen, president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. I'll read you part of the letter. It says, "Dear Dr. Wen, after learning the history and apparent direction of your organization, it's with deep concern that I write to you today and ask for your help in clarifying some information. I recently learned that Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger embraced a philosophy of racial discrimination and eugenics. The historical fact and possibility that this philosophy continues today within your organization is disturbing to me and many others." He's asking, and I'm going to skip down through several paragraphs, "Please provide to me the what percentage of abortions your organization performs on women of color. Since your organization is required to record information on a patient's race and medical history, this should not be difficult to obtain. I look forward to hearing back from you." But a congressman now inquiring into Planned Parenthood, knowing the eugenics attitude and the hateful racial attitudes that Margaret Sanger had toward African Americans. And now we have a congressman following up asking Dr. Leanna Wen, saying, how many abortions are you performing on women of color? LifeSiteNews.com tells us a Dutch environmentalist legislator has suggested restricting surgeries for patients older than 70 by allowing hospital geriatricians to decide whether or not to operate and to continue to provide treatment. How many of you listening right now are older than 70 or near 70? Corinne Elamit from the Green Left made the proposal in February, recently presented it in the lower chamber of the Netherlands. Insisted that she's only interested in giving the elderly the best possible care. Here we have a Dutch legislator wanting doctors to be able to deny surgeries to patients older than 70 years old. By the way, Human Rights Campaign announced that U.S. Senator Cory Booker, one of the many so-called pro-equality champions running for the White House, that's their words, not mine, will speak at the 2019 HRC Los Angeles dinner March 30th. That's tomorrow. Senator Booker, they say, is a champion of LGBTQ equality who has consistently earned a perfect 100% on the HRC congressional scorecard throughout his time in the Senate. We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk. I've got a few more stories I'd like to get in before we open phone lines because there is so much going on. But friends, I trust this burdens your heart to be in prayer for this nation. And certainly to see the importance of knowing God has us here for such a time as this. So let's be that salt. Let's be that light. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Nearly every common behavioral problem is considered to be a disease in American culture today. Gambling, overeating, and certainly drugs and alcohol. But God's Word lovingly tells us the truth about the very heart of addiction. Yet the Bible is a neglected resource for those who suffer from these so-called addictions. One of the reasons for this is that people choose to believe the theories and ideas of mankind that the disease renders them powerless to overcome the problem. However, a Christian is not powerless and has the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to say no to choices that will mentally enslave them. In the book, The Heart of Addiction, biblical counselor Mark Shaw confronts these life-dominating sins and provides biblical tools to help us examine our heart's motives at the root of addiction and how to obtain victory. The Heart of Addiction is available for a donation of $15 or more to VCY America. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, it's a Friday News Roundup today, and folks, I've only gotten through about a third of the material that I have before me today. And much troubling news, things that are going on, certainly as we mentioned, that we need to be in prayer for this nation and recognize the importance of our living the faith, not just proclaiming it or saying we are. By the way, another prayer request for you. I mentioned praying for Johnny Erickson Tata, who's been rehospitalized following here some additional cancer treatments, difficulty, a pain, breathing, etc. We had received word that the founder and CEO of WND, WorldNet Daily, Joseph Farah, has suffered a serious stroke. Spent several days in the hospital, underwent extensive testing and evaluation, now home resting, comfortably recovering, but WND asking that you keep Joseph in your prayers as well. From CNSNews.com, amidst a day of yet more Brexit drama, political parties are quietly preparing for European elections that they were never meant to contest. On Wednesday, Prime Minister Theresa May announced that she would resign and make way for a successor if Parliament approves her proposed agreement for Britain's departure from the European Union, saying, "I'm prepared to leave this job earlier than I intended in order to do what is right for our country and our party," she told a meeting of prominent Conservative MPs. Britain had voted in a referendum in 2016 to leave the EU, and the agreement since negotiated by the British government sets the terms under which the transition will take place. However, the agreement has been voted down a couple of times by large margins in the House of Commons. Many members of the Conservative Party have said it does not go far enough in cutting Britain's ties from the EU. The agreement also providing for a so-called backstop arrangement between Britain and the EU to come into effect by the end of 2020 if the final details of their future relationship are not agreed upon by then. So there is so much more in that particular matter going on, but wanted to bring that to your attention. Now, a statement that came out Wednesday from the Homeland Security Secretary Nielsen issued a statement on an executive order to protect the United States from an EMP attack. President Trump signed this executive order, coordinating national resilience to electromagnetic pulses. It's the first ever comprehensive whole-of-government policy to build resilience and protect against EMP or that are temporary electromagnetic signals that can disrupt, degrade, and damage technology and critical infrastructure systems across large areas. Many provisions in that executive order, like timely information on credible EMP threats and events to stakeholders, take a risk-informed approach to understand and enhance resilience of the efforts of EMP or the effects of EMP across the critical infrastructure, coordinating responses and recovery, considering scenarios as a factor in preparedness, conducting research and development to better understand more effective model of the effects of EMP on our critical infrastructures, and on that list goes. But the first time ever such an order has come from the President of the United States. From townhall.com, interesting story out of Rockland, New York. They declared a state of emergency in response to measles in that area. People under 18 who are not vaccinated are now barred from public areas for 30 days. The executive, Rockland County Executive Ed Day at a news conference Tuesday said Rockland will lead the way in a service and safety to the people here. People who are not able to get vaccinated or documented for medical reasons are exempt, but all other minors are banned from civic centers, from worship houses, cannot go to church, cannot go to malls, cannot go to schools, cannot go to restaurants. Anyone caught violating the regulation could receive a $500 fine or 6 months in prison. From FoxNews.com, President Trump, in an exclusive wide-ranging interview Wednesday night with Fox News Hannity, vowed to release the full and unredacted FISA warrants and related documents used by the FBI to probe his campaign, saying he wants to get to the bottom of how the long-running Russian collusion narrative began. And also from Fox News, Pelosi yesterday slammed the Attorney General's four-page letter on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation as condescending and demanded to see the entire report. Meanwhile, every Republican on the House Intelligence Committee yesterday demanded that Representative Adam Schiff should step down as chairman of the California Democrats' repeated claims regarding this collusion matter with between the president and Russia did not exist. Schiff continued to claim that they did, saying your actions, both past and present, are incompatible with your duty as chairman of this committee, the letter states. We have no faith in your ability to discharge your duties in a manner consistent with your constitutional responsibility and urge your immediate resignation as chairman of this committee. I saw his response. He didn't take too well to that. President Trump, this is from The Hill, has threatened to close the Mexican border, parts of it next week, writing in a series of tweets that unless Mexico's government immediately stops illegal crossings, he would take the action. The president's tweets come after U.S. Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Kevin McAleern said that the border was at its breaking point, noting that not enough agents can respond to the flow of illegal immigrants crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. The breaking point has arrived this week at our border, he said. He was visiting the border in El Paso. He's facing an unprecedented humanitarian and border security crisis all along the southwest border. Matter of fact, Breitbart reports that the number of migrants daily crossing the U.S. border hit a decade-long record of 4,100 on Tuesday alone. Town Hall reports that a statement released Monday, the Pentagon announced Acting Secretary of Defense Patrick Shanahan authorizing the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to begin planning and executing up to $1 billion to build new walls along the border. Meanwhile, a disheartening story from, as reported by the Daily Wire, last Tuesday night, illegal alien road rage suspect allegedly shot and killed a Washington State Sheriff's deputy named Ryan Thompson. That would be a week ago. According to Fox News, Thompson tragically became the first active duty law enforcement officer in his county to be shot and killed in the line of duty since 1927. Also from Daily Wire last Thursday, an illegal alien, Mobile, Alabama, crossed a highway median, killed a local private school teacher in a head-on collision. The alien, a 16 years old, initially denied asylum upon crossing the Mexico-Arizona border in 2017, but was nonetheless free in the nation's interior, despite his having also received a final deportation order. Our phone number to Crosstalk today, if you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our number 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo Tuesday announced an expansion of the so-called Mexico City policy that bans U.S. aid from going to foreign groups that promote or provide abortion. The expansion closes a loophole, Pompeo said at a press conference, that allowed non-governmental organizations that receive foreign aid to fund other groups that support abortion. By the way, the Human Rights Campaign issued their annual Quality Equality Index, their corporate quality index, with now 571 top U.S. companies earning perfect scores. This is rating workplaces on lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer equality. How long before we start seeing the next letter added continuously in the so-called quest for equal rights? Our phone number here to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. By the way, as reported from Breaking Israel News, two Russian planes carrying equipment, nearly 100 troops, spotted at the Caracas airport last Saturday, indicating that the relationship between Venezuela and Moscow has advanced to the level of military cooperation. And from the New American, Russia has substantial political and economic investments in Venezuela specifically, and in the South America in general, it's unwilling to give up without a fight. And also, National Vietnam War Veterans Day, observed every year on March 29th, and is a way to thank and honor our nation's Vietnam veterans and their families for their service and sacrifice. That event taking today, militarybenefits.info is reporting. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Again, our number, 800-733-9829. Tom in Port Wing, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I have two real quick comments. One, you talked about H.R. 5 and the questioning of Congressman Duffy. The first Saturday of the month, in a speech that I witnessed, Mr. Duffy did manage to comment about his homosexual hairstylist. Secondly, as far as vaccinating people, while fining them for not getting vaccinations, while we have on our border people coming in unchecked with no vaccinations for measles and let willy-nilly into the country.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts today, Tom. We've got Amanda next in Ohio. Amanda, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a real quick thing of the lady that had prayed, and I know in Luke it speaks of whoever confesses me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And also at the end of this passage it says, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. I believe that the Holy Spirit did teach this lady what to say as she prayed, and I say praise the Lord because she spoke truth, and I'm just glad to hear that someone finally spoke the truth.
Thank you, Amanda, for your comments. Mary is next in Zion, Illinois. You're on the air. Hello, Mary. Okay, let's try Wendy in Wisconsin. Wendy, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I just wanted to point out, because I didn't hear you mentioning China, who is also a great enemy of the United States, and they're very huge on human rights. I mean,
human rights abuses.
Human rights.
Yes.
And they're actually killing their own people and selling their body parts. So I just thought I'd mention that.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. Our number is 800-733-9829. Bridgeport, West Virginia. Al, you're on the air.
Hi, Brother Jim. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I called a few weeks ago and you know, I let folks know I'm just scared of the direction that the country's going in. The left is so far left, I think they're falling off the edge. And, you know, a lot of violence going on with everything. But instead of the MAGA making America great again, how about making America godly again, Jim? Is that too much to ask?
Not at all. Not at all.
You know, God bless you, brother.
Amen. Thank you for the call. Yeah, it's not our greatness by any means. Certainly we need to be a godly nation. Faith in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hello. I just wanted to comment on that opinion that Judge Hagedorn wouldn't make a good judge because he's a Christian. Being a living Christian is at the top positive characteristic when I go to vote for a candidate. The moral majority in our state haven't been voting, and this election is so important where there's very contrasted difference between the character of the two judges. Judge Brian Hagedorn is a living Christian, and he believes that the word of God is truth. I found these verses in 2 Chronicles 19, 6 and 7. Listen to what God's standard of a judge is. Consider carefully what you do, because you are not judging for man, but for the Lord, who is with you whenever you give a verdict. Judge carefully, for with the Lord our God there is no injustice, no corruption, no partiality, no bribery. The other candidate promises to be independent.
Thank you, Faith. I've got to go. I'm up against a break. We'll have a comment after the break. Thanks for your call. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Sadly, we have some pastors in America that are twisting the real meaning of Romans 13 to declare that Christians are never to be involved in opposing their governments. They should vote, But pretty much, that's it. No lobbying, no legislation, nothing. Well, this form of pietism is very dangerous, and it plays right into the hands of the revolutionaries, the red-green axis, the Marxists and the Muslims, trying to carry out a revolution in America. Because it says that we should not oppose them, because all governments are ordained or approved of God. That is false. God allows governments to come and go. He is sovereign. He is in control. God creates nations. God does not necessarily create every government that comes along. Man is free to create government and abolish government and reestablish government. Man is also free to oppose tyranny in order to fulfill the purpose of government, reward the righteous, and punish the wicked.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, the issue that Faith was talking about as we came into that break was an election matter that's going on in the state of Wisconsin. This coming Tuesday is election in the state of Wisconsin. And friends in the state, I can't urge you enough to be aware of what's going on in the ballot and in this race particular. This is the first time ever that I have seen in the history of elections for Supreme Court justices that we have seen a candidate that has been targeted because of his religious faith. He had the audacity to co-found a school that stands for traditional values and morality, and has been targeted on account of his religious faith. This coming Monday at 12 noon and 5:30 p.m., there will be a special broadcast on the VCY American Network pertaining to the election in the state of Wisconsin. By the way, this is also from OneNewsNow.com, a transsexual policy that permits male student athletes to identify and compete as females has spurred the decision of a Christian school in Maryland to quickly leave the area's athletic conference. The Potomac Valley Athletic Conference pro-LGBT policy forcing biological females to compete against biological males was enough to make Grace Brethren Christian Schools, an independent K-12 school in Prince George's County, approximately 800 enrolled students, to expedite its plans to pull out. Hats off to Potomac, to this school, the Grace Brethren Christian School in the Potomac Valley Athletic Conference. Mary is calling from Zion, Illinois. Mary, you're on the air.
To all of us listening, that God is in control.
Yes, ma'am.
And let's not step on God's toe and just focus on the events of the day. Let us please take the whole Bible at its word and see that if the enemy was going to annihilate us, they would have done it a long time ago. If things were going to come through and wipe us out, they would have been done. But our great God, he's holding back everything he needs to fulfill his word, and we need to have our confidence in our God and not step on his toe and worry about what's going on these days. It's all going to be taken care of in God's word.
Thank you, Mary. Jerome is next in Franklin, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, Jim. I'm just referring back to what you said previously. You had alluded to gaze is coming from litter, and I'm going to ask for an apology
Say that again, Jerome. Jerome, I said nothing about litter.
Yes, you did. You used the word litter in reference, and you alluded it to all those LGBT.
No, sir.
And so I ask for an apology.
Jerome, no, I have not said anything about litter here on this program, Jerome. Jerome, I've not said anything about litter. Let's deal with the facts here today.
Well, then you'll have to get a recording of your program, I'll ask you for an apology to me.
Jerome, let me just say this: homosexuals are ones whom Jesus has given his life to die and to have their sins confessed before him. We want to see homosexuals come to faith in Jesus Christ. The pathway that they are on is one of destruction, Jerome, and it's our prayer that they come to faith in Jesus Christ. They're not litter. They need to come to Christ, just as all men need to do that.
Well, they didn't come from litter, because litters only happen in animals, like dogs.
I never said that, Jerome. Dennis in Chattanooga, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, I want to say that homosexuality is a sin. It's a choice. Lesbians and gays alike, I want to say that to that man that just hung up. We need to pray for him and ask that God will teach him a better way to live. But I want to say that, you know, as Christians, we're called to pray. We're called to prayer. We're called to holiness. And there's nothing going on that our God cannot take care of. And as Christians, we are going to have to really unite together all over the United States and in these other countries to pray for the pitiful shape that our country is in. Because we do have a good leader. He is fighting hell by the half acre up there in Washington, and he loves his country, he believes in it, and he's fighting for our rights. And I'm sorry if I've offended anybody by saying that, but I love God, and I love him more than anything in this whole wide world, and he will see us through this.
Thank you, Dennis. Anago, Wisconsin. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I was the lady that was at Sean Duffy's meeting, I believe it was a week ago on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I had asked him the question, are you aware of H.R. 5, the Equality Act, Diversity Act? I said Equality Act, Diversity Act. And I went on to mention a little bit about the persecution that would come to the churches. And he just said, I never heard of it, and he went on.
Hmm.
I was very disappointed in his answer and his quickness to go on to another question. So then I went and called his office in Washington, D.C., and talked to a staffer. And I asked him if Sean Duffy was aware of that. He said, well, Sean Duffy's not in town now. And I said, well, was he in town? I believe it was the 13th when Nancy Pelosi was that introduced in Congress. And I can't say for sure, but it didn't sound like he was in town that day.
Okay, thank you so much. I've got to move on. I'm down to just a minute here. But thanks for sharing that about your congressman. And then Wausau, Wisconsin, our final call today. Kyle, go ahead. You're on the air.
More rights. What about the rights for the unborn?
Yeah.
They're ignoring them. If they could, here they're going around giving more rights to cats than they are babies.
Yeah.
That is disgusting.
It is disgusting. It's troubling. Thank you so much for your call. We're out of time on the broadcast today. Oh, by the way, you saw the vote on the Green New Deal, and we're going to be dealing next week, one of the days. Tom DeWeese will be coming back with us, the American Policy Center on the Green New Deal. But actually, he had a vote in Congress on it and failed miserably as 43 senators voted present on the Green New Deal. Not a single senator voted for it, even though their names were part of the Green New Deal, and several saying we need to pass this. Chuck Schumer saying climate change is an urgent crisis, an existential threat to our country and our planet, and yet just voting present. I guess they don't believe in it after all. Our time is gone here on Crosstalk. Again, a reminder, the urgency of praying for this nation, and certainly pray for our churches and our pastors that they would boldly proclaim the Word of God, that believers in Christ would be more than just professors, but will actually be those possessors and share the good news for people to come to faith in Jesus Christ. I trust you'll be in a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing local church this coming Lord's Day. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.